The symbols of any religion, though, surely emerge according to the imagination of that particular culture. And
indeed.
Western Christianity has thrown up the cross and the mangled body, which always seems to me to evoke a certain sadomasochistic response.
Yes.
Which is where I agree with you that the Greek timeless Christ of the risen
right.
Christ is a much better.
I've really noticed this sometimes
icon.
Visiting art galleries in Italy
oh.
and tracing the development
yeah.
of Christian art from the very early beginnings, when with Byzantine art and with the mosaics. Huh?
Yes.
The mosaics of Ravenna and San Marco
yes.
in Venice, you get a different sort of world. And then as you come down the centuries, it just gets bloodier
and
bloodier.
Bloodier.
Yes,
yes,
it's
it does.
Really dreadful. And you notice it as you go through any
yes,
sort of
museum.
Picture gallery where the paintings are arranged in chronological order. It's a remarkable thing. I really cannot understand how it came about. I don't know whether you have any ideas about that.
Curiously enough, I had this experience in Washington, D.C., when I was giving some lectures at the Andrew Mellon lectures at the Mellon Gallery there, and I had a lot of leisure
yes.
wandering through the pictures. And I'd never really thought of Christianity in those terms, but I thought these wounds and sadism and masochism and the
yeah.
tortured aspects and effigies and the cruelty and the delight in cruelty and in suffering. It was terrible.
But it wasn't there at the beginning.
No, not at the beginning. And then I used to go across the road. Do you know the Freer? That's their Oriental Museum.
Ah.
Very beautiful. And one went between two, are they called yakshas?
Yakshas,
guardian
yes,
demons.
Yes, yes.
At they had yes. two demons.
Well, the kindly demons.
Oh, very. Full of energy and wickedness.
Yes.
And you,
yes.
you walk
yes.
through
yes.
between the yakshas and you were in this
yes.
world of serene beauty in which the human spirit, it is mainly Buddhist art, sculptures, vases, pots, jars, paintings. It isn't as if there wasn't bloodshed and cruelty and wickedness in China or Indonesia or anywhere else in the world, but the religion sees it as necessary to free the spiritual essence from all that
right.
mangled
yes.
flesh. And it used to be a wonderful rest to the soul to go round the sphere.
Yeah.
I had exactly your experience of never having taken it in at a whole sort of...
Yes. It seems to start with the Renaissance.
Yes.
Which is not quite what one would have thought, but it does.
Yes. Mm. It's when the individual, the individual human selfhood and its experiences in this world on this level comes to take precedence of the spiritual reality which you still get in Ravenna
right.
and in other even up to Giotto, but not
yes,
much after.
Right. Yes, I remember my first visit to Italy took place in 1966 and rather to my surprise my greatest aesthetic experience, if one can call it that, in Italy was in connection with the mosaics. The mosaics, especially of Ravenna, which I revisited a few years ago.
Yes.
I thought even the best of Renaissance painting, in certain respects, could not touch those mosaics.
They speak to the spirit.
Yes. Yeah.
And art, when it does not speak to the spirit, goes right down and making it more realistic only makes it more remote from that which art should be communicating. As Yeats says, they all speak of one thing, everything speaks of the supernatural. And when the arts no longer open a channel to the higher worlds of the soul and the spirit which is beyond the soul but is universal, then it becomes fragmented, trivialized, sadistic. Go to any Catholic church and look at the Stations of the Cross. What horrible things they are, and what bad art they are, too.
Well, could they be good art, do you think?
No, I don't think they could, because you can't separate the theme from
right.
it draws
yes.
it down into
yes.
the world of mortality. And the world of the icon of the Buddha is speaking all the time of the immortal being of Prince Siddhartha, of the immortality. And the stupa, of course, is an abstract form, is it not?
Yes, indeed.
Of the body of the Lord Buddha represented in the four worlds, is it not? My friend Keith Critchlow, I don't know if you've had Keith Critchlow here, you should do. Asked him to come and talk about the stupa, because I've heard him give brilliant accounts of the symbolism of the stupa, which is the as it were abstracted spiritual body of the Buddha.
That was one of the things which Lama Govinda greatly studied. There is a small book by him on the subject, the stupa and its symbolism.
And it is a most beautiful art form too.
It is. There are so many varieties of it,
especially
in Tibet and Japan.
Yes.
And we have, in fact, a stupa in London, don't we?
The pagoda in Battersea Park.
A pagoda is a form of stupa.
Yes.
In Battersea Park, of all places.
And you know, people behave with such reverence there. You don't see people fooling around and dropping beer cans and screaming. You see people quietly and reverentially. It imposes on people. And that's what a work of art should do. It should impose on people a different mode of experiencing. Even Battersea Park, which has some beautiful trees. And there you see a few Oriental people or Buddhists laying little offerings, but you also see, I've never seen anyone behaving in a vandalizing manner there.
Yes, and it fits very beautifully into the landscape.
And across the river.
Yes, I've seen it so far only from across the river, and
it's
it looks so
lovely.
Beautiful there against those trees.
And the whole approach to it from the park, it's...
Yes, it's probably thought out by the Japanese themselves.
It was, but it imposes its meaning. Mm. And a work of art must impose its meaning on people, as music does.
Yes.
You haven't to say, what does it mean? You respond.
That sounds almost like the last words, doesn't it? You must respond.
Yeah.